570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on, Fred Rogan and Rodney P. on AM570 LA Sports.
Yes!
Later this hour, our NFL insider, Vinny Bonsignor, jumps on the show, Rodney.
Vinny B!
He'll be here. By the way, if you missed any of the show today, God, we hope you didn't, because I think this is the one we're going to enter for the Marconis. I think this is the time capsule
this
show.
This is the one?
Oh, yeah. This has been, I think, maybe the best show we've ever done.
It's up there, Fred.
It's right there. And if you missed it, God, how could you? But there's good news. Just download the free iHeartRadio app.
All you got to do.
That's it. You can podcast the show every day. Kevin will put it up the minute we get off the air. And by the way, if you'd like to listen to us live anywhere in the world, just download the free iHeartRadio app and you can stream the show wherever you go. And now we're going to get some spirituality. We're going to come together as a people.
Oh, do we need it?
Yeah, we do need it. And we have to really start giving thanks as we get ready for Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yes.
So to provide all of that, we welcome on our dear friend Victor Jacobs with the Daily Haiku at 2. And Vic, good afternoon.
He's riding a natural high a la Bloodstone. It's Fred Rogan.
Having the time of his life.
Hello, Vic.
Fred, you know Bloodstone?
Bloodstone.
I know the stone, Vic.
You do?
I know the blood.
Natural High from the great Jackie Brown movie, the soundtrack.
Yeah.
The Tarantino movie, Jackie Brown.
Yeah.
Yes, the great Pam Grier.
Great song from that soundtrack. Natural High. That's what you're writing, Fred.
Damn right I am, Vic.
Rodney, Pete, you're on fire today. Oh, Pete, good afternoon.
VTV, my man.
I can feel your Thanksgiving energy, Rob.
Yes.
Pete.
Yes, Vic, yes.
First of all, I ain't no bitch.
No, never have.
He's omnipotent, he's omniscient.
Oh.
He's everywhere.
He's omnipotent
and omniscient.
He's executive producer.
I'll go that far.
I will go that far.
I don't know how far that was.
I'm on that edge. Because I live on that nutty
edge.
Get
on edge, that edge, Vic. Get on that edge.
That's live on that edge.
Get usually
on that
what edge, they Vic. Use to talk about the Almighty God when they say omnipotent and omniscient. I am far from that.
I don't use that term lightly.
He doesn't.
It's Karen Figgis.
Come on now.
You know, I just came here to hit dingers and have a good time.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
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 He witnessed the No Filter tour by the Rolling Stones at SoFi Stadium. He was amongst the Stonites who went crazy and represented us all as the Stones wind up their amazing No Filter tour in Florida tonight. He was there at SoFi, rocking on. He's a rainbow. Ronnie Fascio.
King Flavor, nah.
Yeah. I can't get no.
Carl Jacob.
What?
Thought I'd drop that in.
Who watched Dancing with the Stars? Amazing performance, Iman Shumpert.
All right, first of all, when you said who watched Dancing with the Stars, nobody's hands went up.
I was riveted for about 10 weeks. What, 2 months?
Yeah.
About 2 months.
Yeah.
I was riveted. Sensational show.
Okay.
Tyra Banks is, fabulous host. The panel's off the hook. Even Len, I dig Len, even though, you know, he's a little, you know, he's got his head up his tuchus a lot, but I still love Len.
Yeah.
You know, Bruno's unbelievable. You know, the Huffs, you know, Derek was out, his sister replaced him last night. Tremendous show.
What happened to Julianne Hough?
She watched from her couch this,
yeah,
this year.
She's busy. She's hosting stuff.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's tremendous.
Yeah.
Iman Shumpert, the first NBA guy to win the mirror ball.
First.
And he did it to the sounds he finished off with Missy Elliott out of control.
Uh-huh.
But I believe he nailed it and won the tournament by going Earth, Wind, and Fire. Ronnie, hit me. Oh, yeah. Iman Shumpert. Incredible moves.
Yeah.
At 6 foot five, man, he was a vision.
He was doing his thing. Who was the first athlete to win it, Vic? You know who it was.
Who was
Great
it?
Question.
My man.
I mean, the show's 30
Double
years
deuce.
Old. No.
Double deuce. Emmitt Smith.
That's right. Emmitt, man.
Yes.
Yeah, Emmitt.
You won it like in year two or three.
He set the trend, man.
Yeah, he did.
I'll tell you, Iman Shumpert, I've had the pleasure of interviewing him when he was a Cleveland Cavalier. That's when, Braun was balling with Cleveland. And, you know, Braun would not make any pregame appearances in the locker room. So I'm in the locker room with the Cavaliers. And Shumpert was always grace and dignity. He would always, you know, throw down some juicy quotes and some fun stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But last night, man, he was unbelievable. Perfect score with his partner, Daniela. They win the mirror ball. They beat out JoJo Sliwa. I mean, she was tough.
JoJo was tough.
But think of the platforms JoJo had. She had the American Music Awards.
Yeah, JoJo's all over the place.
She was pimping herself. You know, vote for me. Here's the number. You know, Shumpert just danced. Went freestyle with Earth, Wind, and Fire. So congratulations.
You said JoJo Shumpert. Was pimping?
Said she was pimping herself.
Oh.
JoJo was pimping herself out there. She's just trying to get votes. I understand.
Yeah.
It's a popularity show. You got to get those votes, but yeah. Shumpert just used his skill and his relentlessness to take home that mirror ball, man. Who knew?
Mirror
Shumpert. Ball. Come on. Nah. Yeah. And Ryder, you touched upon this lightly, the fashion stylings of one Kuzma. Woo!
What in the world,
I loved it.
I knew you would.
I knew you loved it. It was sort of a pink, oversized sweater with sleeves that stretched, you know, to the Capitol building or wherever they were playing in Washington.
He made a statement.
Was it pink? Was it chartreuse? Who cares? It was about a $1,700 sweater. Looked to me like a poncho.
Yeah. That's why I knew you'd like it, Vic.
It was like a poncho on steroids.
It was poncho-esque.
It certainly was. You know, Kuzma always had a crazy fashion styling sense. So good on him. I know he's gotten a lot of hate for that sweater. You go, Kuzma. That whole Washington squad, man, they've turned it around.
Well, not because of the sweater.
They totally transformed that team in like a couple of trades. You know, they got three Lakers, but they got Harrell. They picked up Montrez.
Yep.
And they picked up Kadarius Caldwell-Pope.
KCP. Yeah.
Kuz.
They picked up Kuz.
And you know Bradley Beal's always going to do his thing.
Beal's doing his thing. They transformed it to a solid team. So sensational transformation. Just want to give it up, you know, for a team that really was one of the worst in the league. And suddenly, they're competitive in the East. So, good moves by the Wiz.
Nobody beats the Wiz, Vic.
Here it is. There it is, Fred.
Huh? New York City.
You like that?
And no one beats Kyokai. Kyokai.
Kyokai.
He is our haiku titan of the industry on this Tuesday, November the 23rd.
Kyokai.
How you spell that, Vic?
K-Y-O.
Yeah.
R-A-I is Kyorai. I'm sorry. Oh. I must humbly apologize to Kyorai. Oh. K-Y-O-R-A-I. Kyorai.
Oh, Kyorai.
Yeah, like a piece of rye bread. Yeah, Kyorai.
Okay. Oh.
Like Catcher in the Rye.
Yep.
Kyorai. You guys read that book in high school?
Yes.
It was a great book. It changed my life, actually, Catcher in the Rye. Yes.
How did it change your life?
So J.D. Salinger was the author.
J.D. Salinger, yep.
Just a book of freedom, okay. a book of coming out, book of being who you are, not being suppressed by the people around you. I believe that was the gist, the essence.
Key
Even
Rye.
The whole... Huh?
Sorry, Vic, I didn't mean to cut you off there. My... There's a pregnant pause there for a second. I just want to offer some background on Kira Rye because I did find some information, and that is not always the case.
Please.
Actually, a close disciple of Basho was Kira Rye.
Oh, so he's a drunk, too.
Son of a physician. I can't confirm that he was a drunk, Fred. It did say that he was fond of the martial arts.
Right.
He was, after his death, described as being, quote, or having, quote, a soft part and a hard part at the same time.
That's good research.
I don't know what that means.
Basho would know that.
That's yin yang.
Yeah.
That's good research, K-Fig.
Come on now.
Okay.
And this is by Kiorai.
Kiorai. Kiorai.
Who, according to Fred, enjoyed his sake. Mm. But in reality...
Was a drunk.
He enjoyed the five senses, Fred.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My mistake.
My mistake.
Even the hawk's feathers... have been smoothed by a passing shower of early winter rain, like the rain of hoops by the Bruins tonight in Vegas. UCLA 88, Gonzaga 87, feeling you!
No.
Kirai.
No. No. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, you know, this is nice. This is a nice haiku today.
Kirai.
Kirai's bringing it today, and then that. What... Vic, you didn't even let us know you were going to do that today.
I don't release the entire text of the haiku, Fred, before it's read.
He just feels it, Fred.
Yeah,
exactly, Rodney.
I can assure you, Kiorai had never heard of Gonzaga or anything about it, Vic. You made that up.
I heard he was recruited by Mark Few when he was fly fishing somewhere.
You made that up, Vic.
The fly fishing?
No, that he was recruited.
Well, yeah, it was 300 years ago. Of course, I made that up.
Kevin, are we going to do a little it's lit or not?
All right.
He wrote haikus in the 1600s, Fred.
All right. Vic, yeah, well, we don't know. Some guys wrote them last week.
Gonzaga wasn't even around by then, Fred.
Vic, what about these guys in this country or the guy like in Toronto? We haven't heard from them in a while.
Well, they usually, during the baseball season, I will bring out the baseball haiku. Right now, we're in free flow season, Fred.
Fred's still waiting for the erotica.
Where's Brenda?
Haikus.
Vic. Brenda is gathering material.
Yeah. We'd like to hear some Brenda haikus tomorrow, Vic.
For Thanksgiving.
I do want to do a shout-out to our friend Brenda, who's going through the early stages of breast cancer. We love her. Brenda, stay strong.
Brenda,
you're
stay
a warrior.
Strong.
You
know, is that true?
Please give Brenda our love.
Wait, Brenda, our haikuist?
No, Brenda, our friend. Our friend in L.A., she is going through some, you know, the first stages, and we want of rehab with the treatments, and we just want to reach out to her and give her all our love.
All right, first of all, Our thoughts are with Brenda.
Yes.
And we want her to be okay and keep battling.
She's a warrior. Battling. She is a warrior. Keep battling. We love you.
No, that's, yes. And there's nothing
Daryl,
more important.
Daryl is her husband, her loving husband, who's a contributor to the haiku world. So, you know, write a haiku, Daryl, for your beautiful bride, Brenda, and get her through, man. Get her through the chemo. Get her through the radiation. She'll get through it. She'll get there.
No, she will.
Early stages,
right.
Bless her and bless our incredible doctors and nurses and support staff here in Los Angeles. We're the best in the world.
Yes, and our thoughts are with her.
On this Thanksgiving week, this blessed week.
No, yes, Vic, but you understand we were talking about Brenda Gammon, who does the haikus.
I understand, Fred.
And then you said Brenda.
Yes.
And we thought Brenda Gammon was sick. But you don't even know Brenda Gammon, and you brought up your friend Brenda, and again, we want her to be well. We want her to be well, but Dick, it took a little bit of a turn here.
I just differentiated the Brendas. That's all. But Fred, I'm glad that you're feeling, you know, the essence of the haiku. And I know you can't wait till baseball season. And I just want to say thank you, Billy McKinney, for your service as a Dodger.
Vic, why are you bringing up Billy McKinney?
Because why? Fred, he's a random thoughts.
Well, I mean, he went to Texas. We know, Vic.
For cash. How much cash do we get back for Billy McKinney? That's what I'd love to know. And Rex.
Right.
Well, what'd they hit? 80.086 as Dodgers?
Yes, Vic, they struggled here, but obviously a new home in Texas might be better for them.
Struggle is a kind word. It's a great word to use. You're showing some compassion, Fred, this Thanksgiving week. Struggled.
Vic, can we have a haiku from our Brenda tomorrow?
I have a haiku. I have a special Thanksgiving haiku tomorrow.
Oh, Jesus, you made that one up.
No.
He made it up. Of course he will. If he has a special haiku for Thanksgiving, a special haiku for Thanksgiving tomorrow, he's going to make it up.
That's not necessarily true.
Why would you say that, Fred?
Yeah, Fred.
Vic, I'll bet you 50, I'll bet you 20 wings that you're making it up tomorrow for Thanksgiving.
That's a tough bet, Fred.
Oh, yeah. Home stretch, Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan on a beautiful Tuesday.
All right, America's number one selling and most awarded Bloody Mary brand, Zing Zang Now, comes ready to drink, full strength cocktails in a can for you to enjoy this weekend. Zing Zang, always bold, always ready. Go to zingzang.com to find out where to stock up. Please, Zing Zang responsibly. All right, let's bring out our buddy Vinny Bonsignor, our NFL expert. Vinny, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and happy Thanksgiving to both of you guys.
Back at you, Vinny. We were talking earlier about the latest in the Stan Kroenke NFL when billionaires attack saga, and that really, as it plays out, St. Louis, if a decision went in that city's favor, could be owed $4 billion. How do you see this thing playing out?
It's really complicated, and I do wonder, if the end game would be right there in that court in Missouri, or if it goes to a higher court outside of a local area. Because right now, it just feels like the city of St. Louis is getting sort of a home field advantage in this. And a lot
that's
of
what
decisions.
I thought. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's any question. I guess that's not shocking. But Fred, we go back a long way on this.
Yep.
And to me, when you make an agreement, and the agreement is that after a certain period of time, the stadium has to be at a certain level.
Yep.
And the onus is on the city to pay for the whatever renovations are needed. And if not, if they decline, then the Rams have the option to hasten the lease and end it much earlier, or 15 years, whatever. I forget what it was now. But it was, they were able to become free agents and look wherever they wanted for a new home. That's exactly what happened. And, it's hard for me to understand how that doesn't take precedent. That's an agreement that was in place. Everyone made their decisions. No one's faulting for anyone for the decisions that they made on the St. Louis side and the Missouri side. But that was what the agreement was, and they didn't live up to the agreement. And the Rams became free agents, and all of a sudden, L.A. became a desirable relocation point for them. And so I don't see exactly what the claim is. And when you start talking about the relocation rules, those were the relocation rules by the NFL, from the NFL, dictated by the NFL, to be tweaked by the NFL in any way, shape, or form. It's 32 owners and a commissioner that dictated what those rules were for themselves, and I don't see how somebody from the outside can come in and say, hey, this is what you need to do. This is what you should have done. It's their rules. But maybe this is just above my head, but I don't understand.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting. And we talked about it earlier, how much are the other owners going to come on board to support Kroenke in this thing? given that it's the price tag could escalate in this whole situation. Vinny, going to the Raiders first, it just feels like maybe all the turmoil and all of the distractions is starting to take its toll on this team. What do you think?
Yeah, that and you know, there were some warning signs earlier in the season. They were being penalized a lot. They weren't running the ball effectively. They weren't protecting Derek Carr effectively. But they were able to overcome a lot of that because they had their full arsenal of players, and that included Henry Ruggs. But their inability to run the ball, which has really hurt them, they're 2-16, Rodney, on third down conversions over their last two games. That's just not going to get it done. They're self-inflicted wounds with their penalties. Three penalties against the Cincinnati Bengals on third downs defensively, where the defense actually stopped the Bengals, but because of those penalties, they gave them new life. That led to 16 points. It's those little things that they're not able to overcome without the kind of powerful offense they had when they did have Henry Ruggs. You know, you hate to put it on the loss of one player, and it really shouldn't be that. That way, but it kind of is. He really did have an effect on that offense, a positive effect on that offense, not just the numbers that he compiled, but also what he meant to everybody else, helping loosen up the running game, helping loosen things up for Darren Waller and everybody else. So they just haven't been able to figure that out, how to still win football games without being able to consistently run the ball and now be able to attack people downfield the way they were.
Yeah, and it's sad because early on, what was camouflage allowed them to look pretty good and very exciting. I know the people in Vegas were excited as well. Now, it's kind of like it's becoming a lost season for them.
Yeah, and you know, you'd start doing the math, and if they don't win on Thursday against the Cowboys in Dallas to at least get to 6-5 to give themselves a little bit of a chance to make a run here, the math just doesn't work for them. You figure they got to win. Anybody to get into the playoffs in the AFC needs to win a minimum of 10 games, probably 11 games. Well, there's 7 games left to play, and they've got 5 wins. So you do the math. They got to start winning, and they need to start getting on a roll right now. And if it doesn't happen on Thursday, it wouldn't be officially lights out, but it would be close to lights out for the season for the Raiders.
Yeah, and it feels like, though, it's hard to pick the clear-cut favorites to not just win the Super Bowl, but even make the playoffs. Every week we come out, okay, now they got it turned around, and then we see Buffalo go and sputter. We see teams that we thought were pretty good sputter. Look, Tampa Bay did for 2 weeks, and now it seems like now they're back again, although they play the Giants, so I don't know how back they really are.
Right.
Cowboys, oh, they got it going again. Oh, no, they get beat in Kansas City, which is another team, Kansas City, mentioned in that Raiders division, that they kind of went through their lumps, and it feels like now they're starting to turn it on and turn it again. When you see the league, Vinny, who do you see as, if you had to pick a favorite to go to the Super Bowl in both conferences, who do you like?
It's so hard to do because you just named a bunch of teams that at any given week this year, we could have said, oh, that's the team that's going to the Super Bowl. I could throw in the Tennessee Titans. You know, they go on a run after losing 2 straight, and then everyone's on their bandwagon, and then all of a sudden they turn around and lose to the Houston Texans. Now the Indianapolis Colts are kind of putting it together. A lot obviously probably depends on Carson Wentz staying healthy, and can he do that? And if he does, all of a sudden they've got a formula to win football games. I'm not saying that they're the team from the AFC, but I guess if I had to pick it, it's hard to argue against the Kansas City Chiefs and a well-rounded Kansas City Chiefs team with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback. If they get into the playoffs, that's going to be a team that nobody wants to play whatsoever. And on the NFC side, there's 3 teams that I still think there's a couple more games that I want to see from all of these teams, but the Rams and the Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, those are the 3 teams that I think have the best shot. Although I'm curious,
so you don't think Arizona can last?
You know what? They're always right there, kind of lurking in you every time you want to count them out.
Right, and they're winning without Kyler Murray.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big thing. So you have to consider them as well. And I'm curious to see what Dallas looks like up close and personal on Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day. So it's hard. It's probably a little bit too soon to make that declaration in terms of a definitive answer. There's a handful of teams, I think, in the NFC that, you know, have the capability. They just need to get on a roll and you know, hope that they play important playoff games at home, you know, when it gets to that point. But, yeah, it would be hard to argue against the Cardinals right now. I mean, the way they've done it on both sides of the ball and overcome injuries to their quarterback, to an MVP-caliber quarterback, it's hard not to be impressed with that.
Yeah, and when you look at the Rams and the Packers this Sunday, I got to tell you, the Rams, look, there's time to go here. The Rams need to win that game. They cannot drop three in a row. They've got to beat the Packers on Sunday, and they've got to look good doing it. And that's, I think, Vinny, playing there a pretty tall order.
It is, and they have to do it, like you said, looking good. They can't, you know, squeeze out a win and still have a lot of the problems that they've been showing us these last couple of games. I think they need to run the ball. I think they need to take some pressure off of Matthew Stafford. It seems like these last two games, and they were big games, you know, he just felt, it felt like he was playing with a lot on his shoulders and felt like he had to kind of do it all. And I don't think he's the quarterback that needs to be, you know, feeling that way. It's a lot like keep always, you know, bring up Derek Carr when I bring up, when I talk about Matthew Stafford, but it kind of feels like they're in the same sort of category in a lot of ways. So to me, the Rams, and we'll see what they cooked up these last 2 weeks during the bye week. I think they need to get back to being a more physical team on both sides of the ball, run the ball, take some pressure off of Matthew Stafford. And if that could get him to a place where he's avoiding some of the critical mistakes he makes early in games that forces the Rams to have to dig themselves out of a hole, it just puts them in a much better place. But they have to show it on Sunday, because then you start wondering, all right, is this the real Rams team here that's been doing the type of things they've been doing in their last two losses?
I was just thinking, are you going to Dallas for Thanksgiving?
I will be in Dallas. Yes, I'm leaving tomorrow for the Cowboys against the Raiders. So looking forward to that. I want to see what the Cowboys are all about. And you know, I want to see if the Raiders, it's not about fight and it's not about any of that. They just keep shooting themselves in the foot with silly penalties on both sides of the ball, and just making life, you know, way harder for them themselves than it needs to be. And they're not good enough to overcome those type of mistakes. They need to get back to playing clean and efficient football. If they do, they put themselves in a pretty good position, but it hasn't been the case for the last 3 weeks.
All right, well, give your wife and kids a big hug for us. Tell them happy Thanksgiving, okay?
All right, right back to you guys, and have a great day on Thanksgiving. Enjoy all the football.
You got it, Vinny. Thanks. Okay, Rodney, we're back to wrap it up after this.
Let's do it.